Iskan, founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nandagoti, Vaishnava, Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem, Se, Kaho, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Dvaita Gadadha, Shri Vasudi Gaur, Bhakta, Vrinda ki jai, Shri Radha Krishna, Govagavata, Sayam Kunda, Radha Kunda, Kiri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Charanam ki jai, Vidipdam ki jai, Jagannatha Swami ki jai, You want a my kajai, shimatavasa gave a kajai, so made a bakta, brinda kajai. Go, Brahmananda, Hari Hari. All glorious is the Son of Jesus, all glorious is the Son of Jesus. All glorious is the Son of Jesus, all glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ganat Chimarandasya Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshura Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my spiritual master's divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who kindly opened my eyes with the torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So by Prabhupada's mercy, I'm going to try to explain a little bit about the topics I mentioned before: racism, varnashram, the caste system, and why so many people in India are of different religions other than Hinduism, which is quite interesting. So, we'll start by reading a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, from the fourth chapter, text 13. It's a famous verse, and it basically describes what people may call the caste system or the varnashram system, which is more appropriate. So, chaturvarnam ayashishtam guna karma vibhaga shaha dasha kartaram abhimam vidya kartaram abhiyam. And so the translation that Srila Prabhupada gives is: according to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. Although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. So, the system of dividing people into different classes is actually coming from Krishna. However, Krishna makes it clear in this verse that the division is not done according to one's birth, according to one's gotra. It is done according to one's guna, the qualities that one exhibits, and karma, the work that one likes to do, is acclimated to do, that can do well. So, let's describe what the modes of nature are, because that's what determines what's one situation in varnashram dharma. Varna, of course, varnashram means the same thing, except it also includes the ashrams, which are brahmachari, grahastha, manaprastha, and sannyasa, which we're not going to talk about today because that's a whole other topic we can go on for years, talking about what a brahmachari's duties are, to surrender to spiritual master. We have one rare species here, endangered, very much endangered. What a grahastha's duties are: to feed the sannyasis, and Vanaprasa's duty is to go to the forest and just eat roots. And then the sannyasi's duty is to be the head of society. But that's not what we're going to discuss today. So, we're talking about the varnas. That is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So let's talk about the three modes of nature. Everything in this world is under the three modes of nature. There's goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. And these three modes control everything except for pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in the Gita, mam chiyo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samati chayatam brahma bhuyaya kalpate, that one who engages in devotional service fully, 100%, then he or she transcends the modes of nature. However, even if one's engaged in pure devotional service, it may come as a shock to you, one has a body. Of course, that's not so shocking. Because if you didn't have a body, you'd probably be a ghost. And the body is the apancha maha bhuta, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And the body that you got is acclimated or associated with a certain combination of those modes. Even if you're a pure devotee, you may be the purest devotee on the planet, but your body is not controlled specifically, but it is basically acclimated or focused, or the duties of that body are in terms of the modes of nature. That's a fact. And so therefore, you find pure devotees of Krishna who are in each of these four different varnas. For example, a Brahmin, that's very easy to understand. There's many pure devotees who are Brahmins, like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And we're not talking about Gotra right now. We're talking about the qualities and work. And Kshatriyas, can anyone think of a Kshatriya as a pure devotee? Arjuna, that's pretty easy. And there's others too. And then Vaishyas, can anyone think of a Vaishya as a pure devotee? Nanda Maharaj. Of course, Krishna is not a pure devotee. He's not an impure devotee, but he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's above everything. His body does not have any association with the modes of nature. But when you come in this world, your body does have a certain association with modes of nature. That's life. And finally, the Shudra is getting rid of the Shudra. Haridas Thakur, and even Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy, who was Lord Chaitanya's most intimate, one of his Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associates, he was considered to be a Shudra by his activity. And also, even in Vrindavan, you have the, there's Adivasins, who are the great devotees of Krishna. You know, there's ladies who would take the dust from Krishna's, the Krishna left and smear it all over their bodies like that. Anyway, so pure devotees can be in any of these four varnas. But the varna has to be understood in terms of what one likes to do, one is attracted to, what one is expert in. So how do you determine what varna you're in? Because every one of us, we're actually associated with certain, our bodies associated with certain varnas. Well, let's tell a story from the Mahabharata. Actually, there's several stories. One story is that when Arjuna had won Draupadi, and he went back to Drupada's kingdom. Of course, Drupada at that point did not know whether the Pandavas were Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, because they appeared at the Swayamvara of Draupadi, and as Brahmanas, they were able to pierce the eye of the fish, and I mean, at least Arjuna was able to do that. That's highly unlikely a Brahmana could do such a thing. And also, they have big muscles. Now, generally, you don't see Brahmanas who look like Rambo or someplace, or the Terminator. The Brahmins generally are, you know, quite thin, or sometimes they have a little Brahmin belly. I'm eating too much Mahaprasadam, but the rest of the body is thin. Well, what can I say? What can I say? We have to be practical in terms of our observation in this world. So Drupada, who was Draupadi's father, did not understand what varna they were. So what did he do? Very easy. He put out the implements for each of the different varnas. And the Pandavas walked in, and guess what? They chose the swords, the bow and arrow, and they were just looking at it. Isn't this cool? Wow, isn't that nice? Because nowadays, you just put a mobile phone in front of everybody, you know, an iPhone. Everybody walked iPhone X, and everyone, isn't this cool? Isn't this nice? I don't know what varna that is. It's probably Shudra varna. Isn't it? I mean, it's a problem. I see that phone. So we can also do a test with mobile phones and different technological things. So the point is very easy to ascertain. And even in the Vedic system, we have this samskara, where the children choose or indicate what varna they're going to be later on. And you put the implements of the four varnas in front of them. You put a book, Bhagavad Gita. you put some swords. All right, nowadays, some machine gun. What can I say? Here's what you do. And then you put some gold, and then you put a hammer and nails and different things like that. And the children naturally crawl over, and they go, wow, got it. Which one did you pick? You don't remember. Bhagavad Gita. So he's a great devotee. So, but Arjuna and the Pandavas, they picked these swords and everything like that. And they were great devotees, too. And, you know, I guess the Vaishnavas, they would pick cows or money or something like that. So they're all great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna talks about how these, in the Bhagavad Gita, how these indications indicate nirvana, and then how it indicates your duty too, what you should be doing. Because we have specific duties in this world. Of course, all the duties are meant to be focused on pleasing Krishna. As Krishna says in the Gita, Kurosi Adhishtasi, Yajaho Siddhadasiya, Yatta Pashasi Kuntiya Tat Kuruswa Manarpanam. Whatever you do should be done as an offering to me. Whatever you offer, whatever you do, should be done as an offering to me. And then Krishna also states, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmana Uttam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Smani. So this is, of course, a lot of people know this verse because that's the verse that Brahma Kumaris chant all the time. And that verse indicates that if you do your work, you're fully absorbed in your work for, it says Brahman, but we understand Brahmeti, Panamam Eti, Valuaniti, Shabate, that Brahman has three aspects. Brahman means spirit. Actually, Brahman literally means the greatest. And those three aspects are in ascending order. Ascending means going up. Ascending order, the effulgence of the Lord, the Brahma-jyoti. Then after that, you have Paramatma, who is the Lord in everyone's heart. You know, God is in your heart, everyone's heart. And then finally, you got Bhagavan, who is the personality, who is Krishna, and Krishna is the original Bhagavan. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. So therefore, if one makes a full contribution in his work, whether he's the Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, to the Supreme Brahman, then his work becomes transcendental, the result of the work becomes transcendental, and he's to be respected, he or she, is to be respected as a pure devotee of the Lord and offered respect. So that's what is taught in the Vedic literatures. Now, how did that degrade into the caste system, whereby someone was considered basically either untouchable? I mean, there's a story. I was listening to Prabhupada speak about how in South India, when Prabhupada was young, he observed that if there was a shudra walking down the street, the Brahmins had to close their doors so they wouldn't see the shudra. Huh? I mean, sometimes they do that when the Hare Krishnas come, because shudra looks like but that's a different reason. That's not racism. They just don't want to give a donation. So, right? Can you imagine you walk down the street, everybody has the doors open, because there's very little crime at that particular point. Nowadays, of course, there's so many dacoits and gundas and nice people like that. And so, so you walk down the street and everybody shuts the door. How do you feel? And if you step on a Brahmin's shadow, if you happen to be a shudra, you may get killed. Prabhupada was talking about this. How did that come about? I mean, how did the perversion of the Varnashram system come about when Krishna never mentions that by birth one is ascertained to be a certain member, and Krishna never mentions that one should be denigrated, criticized, rejected from society because one is of a different caste. How did it come about? Well, as they say, follow the money. The Brahmins, this of course is still going on today, actually, that many Brahmins, they were more concerned, of course, it's Kali Yuga we're talking about now, because in Kali Yuga, guess what? Kalona Shudra, Sambhava. Everybody is basically Shudra tendency, unless they have some Skarabhava, Dvijam, unless they actually go through the right samskaras. No matter who they are, where they're born, what their gotra is, it doesn't matter. Because the only thing that will bring up through the modes of nature is the Yuga Dharma. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevala. There is no other world. I mean, that is the Dharma in Kali Yuga. So, otherwise, everybody should have a tendency. And of course, their bodies may be acclimated to other modes, but still, their consciousness is Shudra. So, basically, in Kali Yuga, you have the Brahmanas who are interested in making money by being Brahmanas. You know, through their Brahmana. You know, how do you make money as a Brahman? Well, you got all these pujas. And you got a price list. You have a card swipe, a square on your phone. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay. Credit, you take credit cards. We take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Discover. So, I mean, I'm speaking a little facetiously, but not completely. So the Brahmanas, of course, they didn't have credit cards 2,000 years ago, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, obviously. But where there's money, it can corrupt people. Actually, it happens. Like power corrupts, money corrupts, doesn't it? So, therefore, let's take a traditional occupation as doctors. Doctor is a traditional occupation, right? They're a Brahminical occupation. Let's not even talk about India right now. So doctors sometimes do operations. And is there a doctor in the house? Oh, yeah. They do operations, especially, I always wanted Jai Shri to become a neurological surgeon, so she'd make a lot of money. So they get paid for each operation, right? Am I right? In America, not every country, not Canada. Canada, they have salaries. So what are they going to be thinking when they do your examination? They're going to be thinking, let's do this operation. And there's so many operations that are performed where the person doesn't need it. I think you need a new heart. So, I'm not criticizing all doctors. I'm just saying it happens. It's absolutely a fact. Because when there is money, there can be corruption. When there's power, there can be corruption. And you see this, of course, this is not just doctors, but in American, in many religious personalities, it's like that. It's one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The religion is just a change of dress. And it becomes a business activity. So this really happened at the beginning of Kali Yuga. And so the Brahmanas naturally were thinking that in order to keep the prices high, you got to have a monopoly, right? In other words, you have to be born in a Brahmin family, keeps the supply low, and anybody who studied economics, what happens when you keep the supply low and the demand is always there? Prices are high. You can charge anything because everybody has to go to a Brahmin if they're Hindu. If they want to be born, I have to go to Brahman. I want to be born, my dear Brahman. Please do my Garbhanan Samskara. Yeah, I'm speaking a little facetiously. Or you want a Namakarana. Or a safe delivery for your kid ceremony. Or you want to have the haircutting ceremony. Or you want to have the chalk giving ceremony. Or you want to die. What? Right, oh, the sweet rice. Forget about that one. Because I'm vegan. I didn't think about that. So, So all these different ceremonies, you get paid for. And so the Brahmins actually established their superiority based on that. I mean, even today, when you go to holy places, you know, the Brahmins will come out and say, money, money. And sometimes in certain holy places in Vrindavan and Govardhan, they pull on the ladies' saris if they don't give them enough money. I have to tell the devotees when I'm going through certain holy places, run. Remember this? Divya Nikai came with us one time. I said, I explained the holy place before we go there. I said, this is what it's going to be like. Now, on your mark, get set, run. And so you run through the holy place. And brother, ah! Money, 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 money. So of course, I have an interesting way of dealing with them. When they ask me for something, I just take out the cape, which is a sannyasi's way of asking for donations. Wait till the end.
Yeah, like I had the same experience.
That's all right. That's all right. He's just verified. And I just say, Viksha, sannyasi. Then they get scared. Anyways. And sometimes, you have experience, you give them a contribution and it's not enough and they throw it back in your face. Sometimes they curse you. So, a Brahmin, that's not what Krishna describes in the Gita as far as the Brahminical qualities. Being equal, poised, peaceful, not angry. So, it's not to criticize anyone. I mean, my respects to everyone, all Brahmins. But, so what happened? They just developed this exclusive right for Brahminical activities and then established themselves as being so superior that everyone else in society was subservient to them. And as a result, you had the lower classes, especially, you know, the Shudras and what's called scheduled caste, they were given no respect, treated horribly. Then what happens, you have these other religions come to India and they say, you know, we're all brothers, you know, kumbaya. And just join us. They said, shoo, what a relief. Wow. And so the Brahmin is actually created to, you know, this exodus to a certain extent. Because if everyone was considering themselves to be brothers and sisters, which is what a Brahmin is supposed to see, according to Krishna in the Gita, vidya vidya sampani, Brahmani Gavihastani, Shuni Chaiva Swapakincha, Pandita Samadarshana. That's a Brahmin's vision. He's Samadarshi. He doesn't look at, he gives his mercy even to a dog. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave a dog pure devotional service. A dog came to see, was coming with the devotees to Jagannath Puri. And he just threw some coconut pulp to the dog, told it to chant Hare Krishna. He didn't even discriminate against the dog. He went through the Vajrakhanda forest and he had lions and tigers and what deer and everything just kissing each other and chanting Hare Krishna. So what to speak of discriminating against, you know, someone, some human being because they were a different caste, like that. So as a result of this, you had different people having a mass exodus, many people, from the Hindu religion, and many people joined the Jain religion, and of course Buddhism at a certain point was actually quite prominent in India. Not anymore, because of Shankaracharya, but Buddhism became very prominent because of that discrimination. And so it's a big problem. It's a really big problem. I mean, and every country, of course, there's racism. You know, people consider themselves to be better because of the color of the skin. People consider themselves to be better because of the wealth. Of course, in Kali Yuga, it states in the Bhagavatam, if you have some money, you're high class, even if you are an ass. That's the Bhagavatam says that. That's not me. So sometimes you consider, you know, so you got some of the lower class, not lower class, but lower by activities and consciousness. We're talking about consciousness. who are actually revered in society. So basically, we are all one family. As Krishna says in the Gita, it says in the Isha Upanishad, Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atmane Vanu Pashati Sarva Bhutesha Chatmanam Tatonan Navigigupshate. That one who is actually a Hindu, and I'm just using that word because that's the word we usually use, although I'm not going to define what that means. But if one is actually from the Vedic culture, let's say Sanatana Dharma, that's a more appropriate word, then one sees everything connected and everyone connected to Krishna, and he sees the inherent family relationship with everyone. He doesn't hate anyone or discriminate against anyone. So that's Krishna's instruction. So let's get to the Gita. I don't think I could read all these verses, but it's just, I was so excited to do this research because I like doing it. I guess that's a Brahmin's tendency. You know, looking up all the verses. Actually, I read the whole Gita today in about 45 minutes, all the English verses. I'm a speed reader. And I just went through it and just picked the verses. And so, basically, I'm going to summarize this, that Krishna, in the second chapter of the Gita, he advises Arjuna, in paraphrasing, he says, there's no better engagement for you, Arjuna, than fighting because you're a Kshatriya. And if you, this is your religious duty. So in other words, if one is a Vaishya, then his religious duty is to do commerce or make money or take care of cows. Krishigo Rakshavanijam Vaishya Kamas Vibhavajam. But giving the results to Krishna. The whole point is to give the results to Krishna. So Arjuna, Krishna said later on in the Gita, if you don't fight for me, then you'll be forced by your nature to fight for me. Not to fight for Krishna, but to fight for yourself. Because there's another interesting verse in the Gita. Nihikascha chanam apijata tishtatiya karmakrit. Karyate yavasa karma sarva prakriti jargana. Everyone is forced to act according to the impulses born of the modes of nature. That's in reference in two ways we can take that. One is someone who's a conditioned soul, and also one who has a body that's in certain modes of nature, which every one of us has. And that proof of that with Arjuna, there's a proof of that with Arjuna, the Mahabharata. When Arjuna was meditating and chanting Om Namo Shivaya, and attempting to get weapons, that's a good reason to meditate. That's you should try that. So it's better than be here now. So Arjuna was meditating, and then a big boar, or that means a pig with tusks, went to attack him, right? And he pulled out his bow and arrow. Naturally, that's okay. I mean, whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, if a boar comes to attack you, you better defend yourself. That doesn't mean anything. That's not the purpose of me telling the story. So he shot his arrow at the boar. At the same time, there was a Kirata, a hunter, who shot his arrow at the boar. And basically, Arjuna had a big argument with this Kirata. I shot him first. I shot him first. My arrow. And so basically he was wrestling, he had a wrestling match and a bow and arrow match with the Karata. Of course the Karata was actually Lord Shiva. So in other words, his nature was such that it made him fight for prestige. Because that's a Kshatriya. Like Krishna says to Arjuna in the Gita, you know, for one who has been honored, what?
Dishonor
is worse than death. In other words, Krishna is giving those arguments to Arjuna because he's a Kshatriya. If Krishna gave the arguments to me, for one who has been honored to sound his words, they're like, who cares? I said, chant Hare Krishna, Krishna. Let me just go to Govardhan, you know, who cares? Everyone hates me, you know, that's fine, just leave me alone. That would be my response. And it's not, I just want to chant. You know, why does everybody have to bother me all the time? Send me all these emails. So, because that's my favorite activity. You know, I just close my eyes and chant Hare Krishna and go around Govardhan. So, but Arjuna, that wasn't his nature. Doesn't mean that he was less. I mean, Arjuna is a great, pure, liberated, eternal associate of Krishna, appears whenever Krishna appears. He appears with Narayan Rishi, with Nara, with the Narayan Rishi. But he was forced by his nature, because prestige for one who has been honored, dishonored is worse than death. And so he was forced by his nature to fight with Lord Shiva. You know, if Lord Shiva had killed a boar when he was trying to attack me, I would say, thank you, you know, here's a donation. You know, I mean, you know, someone saves you, why not? So so anyway, that's the point, the nature controls us. So we have to work it, and that's our duty. We should understand what our nature is. And sometimes people ask, well, how can I understand, you know, apart from going to the four implements and picking a sword or whatever, just think of what you can do 10 hours a day and not get bored or go crazy. And you really like it. I mean, some people, they love to make money. They go to work and money, money, money is the honey. And other people, they, you know, they work in the computer field. I'm sure we have some people here who work in the computer field. They love it, you know, because it engages the mind. You're manipulating the zeros and the ones. You know, or even more complex, you know. So, and it's just like, wow. You know, so they love it. Right? Some people love it. You love it, right? It's fun, isn't it? Yeah, he goes to work and he has fun every day. And he comes home, you know, and he plays on his computer some more. So, not really, I'm just teasing. So, and some people love to take care of cows. They just be out there with the cows all the time and hugging the cows. Like we had one devotee, Kurma Rupa, passed away. And he's just all day long with the cows. And some people like to read all day long. So whatever you can do all day long, even if you can do other things, you stick to it. Now if you don't stick to it, there's going to be a problem. I mean, let's take the example of Drona. Drona's duty as a Brahmin was not to fight. He could teach fighting. A Brahmin could teach. You know, a Brahmin can teach martial arts. A Brahmin can teach how to plow the land. A Brahmin can teach how to make money. You know, any of these things. A Brahmin is a natural teacher. But he doesn't do all those things. Actually, there's a funny saying in the university. Those who can't teach. But that's not in reference to Brahmin. So Brahmin can teach anything. So let's take Dronacharya. He was out of his varna. He was out of dharma, adharmic, by fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra. It's all right. What he did, teaching both sides, fine. I mean, he even taught Dhristadyumna. I mean, that's good. That's a Brahmin. Even though Dhristadyumna was supposed to kill him, Dhristadyumna was also born out of fire, like Draupadi, Yajnasena. So Dhristadyumna was supposed to kill him. So he was equipoised, he taught everybody, even if they were supposed to kill him. I mean, could you do that? If someone was supposed to kill you, would you take them as, become their mentor? I don't think so. Therefore, you're not a Brahmin. So, but you can be a pure devotee. That's no problem. People have this problem. Yeah, I'm not a Brahmin, huh? What am I going to do? No. Kiva vipra, kiva nyas, shudra kena nai, ye Krishna tattva veda, se guru hoi. If one knows the science of Krishna, Arjuna could be a guru. Like that. So anyway, Dronacharya, he acted improperly. Never he was fit to be killed. And even the trick that they did, you know, Ashwatthama is dead, etc., was not wrong. When someone violates dharma, the king can punish and sometimes kill. It was like you had Bali and Sugriva, Bali, and he is a monkey. He violated Dharma, right? Because he took his brother's wife when his brother was still alive and kicked his brother out, Sugriva out. So it was right for Ram just to hide behind the tree and shoot him. So Drona was perfectly all right for him to be killed in such a fashion by trick. It was actually a trick. It wasn't against his dharma. So in other words, we have to understand what our dharma is, and that is our duty. Just a few more verses. Actually, if anyone's interested, I can email all these verses. I was thinking I was going to read them, but I got talking about other things. It said, Krishna says in the 18th chapter, it's impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who is truly renounced. This is a topic that Krishna keeps repeating again and again. Renounce the fruits, but do your duty. And Krishna says there's no being, 1840, no being existing either here among the demigods in the higher planetary system which is freed from the three modes born of material nature. No being, that means nobody. That's an absolute statement. And then, this 18th chapter is quite a few verses. And you'd think in the 18th chapter, you know, Krishna would just like talk about love and devotion and everything. But the 18th chapter, he deals so much with the modes of nature and how do you engage according to the modes of nature. I think more than any other chapter, you know, the 17th, of course, too. But I think the 18th, as far as practical engagement according to the modes of nature. And here, I'll just end by reading 1842 to 1845. In 1842, that's the verse I quoted before, Samadhamakthapakcha Cham Shanti Raja Mevacha. And it says, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. That's how you can identify who's a Brahmin. By the qualities. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what color his skin is, doesn't matter what country he's born in, doesn't matter any of those external things. Just those qualities he exhibits. He's peaceful, self-controlled, austere. Austere doesn't mean that he just sleeps on a bed of nails every night. Austere means he accepts everything favorable for serving Krishna and doesn't accept anything that's unfavorable. And so this quality of the Kshatriya, this is how you know if you're a Kshatriya. 1843. Heroism. Wanting to run a marathon. And we have dear Krishna. He's like a Kshatriya there. Marathon. And I'm always challenging him. When are you going to win? Right? And again, he says, I have to win. And he practices a lot. But you couldn't get me to do that. Couldn't get me to run like 3 hours. Of course, he doesn't do that. But he couldn't get me to practice to run some race, you know. I remember when I was in school years ago, we had a gym class, you know, and we had wrestling, and they said, all right, you know, here's your wrestling partner, and I whispered in his ear, when they say 1, 2, 3, I'm going to throw myself on my back, and you win. And that was the only subject matter that I failed in school. Everywhere else I did well, but gym. So then when I went to I went to the university, we had to take physical education, so I chose dancing. So I didn't last long in that either. So heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle. Like you see Grandfather Bhishma, he was filled with arrows and he was still rushing at Arjuna, right? Can you imagine? You know, it's not like, if I get a little scratch, it's just like, ah! Call 911. But Grandfather, right? But Grandfather Bhishma, can you imagine, filled with arrows? I mean, he had to have so many arrows that it knocked him over and he couldn't move. But he was still rushing towards Arjuna. And Krishna kept saying to Arjuna, you keep firing at him. That is determination. Courage. Generosity, like Karna. Karna would give anything that anyone asked at the time of worshiping the sun god. He even gave his own earrings and his armor, kavacha, and everything. That's the generosity and leadership of the natural quality work for the kshatriyas. And for the vaishyas. And these are all nice things. None of them is less than the other, it's just different. Right? Farming, cow protection, and business, and computer programming are the natural work for the vaishyas. I added that one just to see if you were listening to what I was saying. You know, you have to listen. And for the shudras, there's labor and service to others. But there's nothing wrong with serving others. It's nectarian. Actually, if you can serve others, it gives so much satisfaction, isn't it? And actually, we're all supposed to serve others. Gopi Bharata Padakamala Dasa Dasa Dasanu Dasa. And everybody got the name Das. And here, 1845, we'll read 1845 and 1859. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. And then 59, exactly what I was talking about before. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. So, interesting topic. So, any questions or comments about this topic? Yes.
So we know that there are those activities that are transcendental and above the modes of material nature, you know, such as hearing, chanting.
They're meant for everybody.
So that, I just wanted that.
Yeah, everybody is meant to do sadhana bhakti. Whether you're Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or whatever, you're meant to chant. Because these are transcendental activities, and everybody can do it. But as far as what we do through the rest of the day, you know, there's the sadhana. Sadhana bhakti means practice bhakti. And ultimately, when you're practicing, you become spontaneous. That's called raganuga bhakti. When you become really good at it, you get bhava bhakti. You get so ecstatic that nobody can control you. And then prema bhakti, when you love Krishna so much, like this. But everyone is meant to do that basic thing in Varnashram. Prabhupada actually said that 50% of his work was not accomplished because he had not instituted Varnashram. So in ISKCON, it's very important to institute. And a Brahmin has to be naturally, like I say, austere, not opulent, dressed in, you know, if I came here dressed in jewelry, you know, whatever, with rings on each finger, you know, Rolex watch, it's a Casio, don't worry. So, and I don't have an iPhone, it's Google. So everybody's meant to do those basic Krishna conscious things. Thank you for asking that question. So, other questions? Aisha has.
So, I have one question and one comment.
Yeah.
First, I'll ask the question. Like you said in the alms, the holy alms, like how people sit and ask for money.
Yeah.
And like, how do they have the courage? They know it's a holy alm, and if I was them, I wouldn't even sit there. I would be like scared. Oh my God, this is a holy alm. And I'm going to ask for money here.
Well,
so
I mean,
how do they have that courage?
Well, I think when people have necessities in life, you know, just like you go to a car dealer, they'll ask for money there. And so when people have necessities in life, wife and children, they need to make money. They need to make necessities, the mother of invention, as Prabhupada said. So I don't really want to criticize them for that, but it's not really how a Brahmin should be. A Brahmin should depend on charity, yes, but not demand charity.
And the comment is like, I actually experienced it. We were going to Varshana and the big stair, like the staircase.
Varshana, yeah.
Yeah, when we were going down, one lady was pulling me to get money. I have that experience.
That's good. Very good.
I'm going down Usually,
I do give money to the people there because they're residents of the holy town. They're actually great devotees, and they may have some financial difficulties, so I give it. I actually, when I leave Govardhan, I give quite a bit of money to my assistant there to pass out to the people. But yeah, but basically, it's not a Brahmin's occupation. Brahmin shouldn't be demanded. A Brahmin can do something like traditionally a Brahmin, a doctor would be a Brahmin. And he'd go to your house. Of course, doctors, do they make house calls anymore? Probably not too much. When I was young, actually doctors would always make house calls. They would come with a little black bag, and they'd look in your ears. And they'd look in your... You know, anyway, it was kind of nice. The doctor was more like a family member at that point. So traditionally, the doctors would go, and they'd do their work or help someone. And regardless of whether the person paid or not, they would still do the work. Now, of course, I know we're in a different society. I'm not saying that we should do that. But that's a Brahminical activity. Like a Brahmin doesn't really have salary or demand something. And if Krishna sends, it's good. If Krishna doesn't send, he's happy too. He can live under a tree or he can live in a regular house depending on what Krishna sends. That's Brahmin. Whereas the Kshatriya, he can work in the government and extract taxes and things like that. A Vaishya can do business, and a Shudra can be employed in different activities, salaried. So, yes?
And we have this verse, Namo Brahmanya Devaya,
Go Brahmana. Go Brahmana Taitra.
So in that, is it like a Vaishnavas or Brahmanas, or any Brahmana who is maybe Mayavadi or Shaivite or any Brahmana? Or just
well, the word Brahman literally means one who knows Brahman. There's different definitions of the word Brahman according to the context that you're using it. It can mean someone in the Varnashram system, or it can mean someone who knows Brahman, which is really the literal meaning, one who knows Brahman. So, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Tayacha. So, Krishna actually worships the Brahmins. Krishna worships the Brahmins. The real Brahmins. And actually, if someone is even a Vaishya or a Kshatriya or a Shudra and they're Krishna conscious, then they're a Brahmin too. And from another angle of vision, from using the definition that a Brahmana is one who knows Brahman. So, there can be a Vaishya Brahman, a Shudra Brahman. We usually say Shudra Mahajan. Whoops. Depending upon, their level of spiritual advancement or like that. So you can say that Arjuna was a Brahman too. Not according to Varnashram, but according to his knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of Brahman. So it's a question of defining the word Brahman in different ways, according to context. Okay, any other questions? So, just the main point I wanted to make is that we should see everyone according to their qualities and work, not according to where they're born, or what their gotra is, or what the color of skin is. It's really just not really significant, but according to where they fit in. And wherever they fit in, we should love everybody because they're all our brothers and sisters. This is actually the peace formula. Yastu sarvani bhutani admani banapashati. Because everyone's our brother. I mean, whether they're... And when I go to India, I mean, I approach the people, the bungies and the people cleaning the street, and I respect them, and they love it. They reciprocate. These people reciprocate because they feel discriminated against. I know that in the place that I stay at Govardhan, there's all the ladies who clean the houses and the people who do the work, like the plumbing or the electrical. And I walk up to them and I treat them like my brother. And this is Krishna consciousness. to treat everybody like your family member. I mean, if you have a brother or a sister, whatever work they do, you love them, right? I mean, even if you have a brother who's a plumber, because in America, plumbers make more money than doctors, basically. That's why we're trying to renovate the temple downstairs, you know, and then people ask so much money just for hooking some wires up. They're called mysteries, right? In India, they don't get that much. So, but they appreciate it so much, and I just feel, I just love them. All the people there. And that should be our attitude as aspiring spiritualists, isn't it? Not to discriminate against anyone. We just, whatever their nature, it doesn't matter. There are brothers, there are sisters. And even Prabhupada said, there was one Christian saint, Saint Francis, who considered all the animals and plants and everything to be his brother and sister. And Prabhupada said, that is first class God consciousness. Okay, I think we have to end because it's time for prasadam. So, are we going to have prasadam inside, outside, or what? Because the heater's not working outside.
Yeah, so I just went down one of the... It's not too cold inside because it's been covered. But okay. We also have the option that devotees can go in the guest building or in the school building.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
So prasadam will be served there. If it's still cold for you, you could go. Yeah, so we are fixing the heater down in the...
Next week it'll be fixed. We'll get a mystery. Okay. On that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
So let's thank Sri Krishna Goswami.